Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
I'd like to welcome you to our time together today, and let's bow in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless us as we meet together around His Word. Our gracious God and our Father in Heaven, we thank Thee again for Thine eye upon us, Lord, an eye that loves us in Christ. I pray, Father, for everyone that's saved, that You would be pleased to bless us through Thy Word. Lord, as the psalmist said, Thy blessing is upon Thy people. Bless us abundantly, we pray. Have a word in season for us. And Father, for any that are not saved, for any that are still lost, Lord, I pray that You would be pleased to speak to them, draw them to Christ, show them their need of Christ, show them the supply that they have in Christ. And may they repent and believe the glorious gospel even today, that in Christ they can be saved, saved from sin and saved from hell. Oh Lord, bless Thy word. Let it live. Let it have an eternal impact. Even today we ask it for Thy glory alone. Amen. You turn, please, in the living Word of God to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 4 and verse 8. And we read in verse 8, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. End the reading there at the end of verse 11. May the Lord richly bless his word to us as it's read, and even as it will soon be preached upon. Let us turn to our next hymn. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned and unclean. In the physical world, the subject of blood is fascinating. Did you know that the human body makes 17 million red blood cells every second and can even produce seven times that amount in a stressful situation? Did you know that the blood cells will travel around your body up to 12,000 miles on a given day? The subject of blood is not only fascinating, it is also enlightening. I'm told that a doctor only needs between 1 and 3 teaspoons of blood, and they're able to tell you the health of your organs, such as your kidneys, your liver, and your thyroid. They're able to tell you your biological age. And they're able to tell you if your body has any sickness within it, such as cancer, diabetes, anemia, or indeed heart disease. As I said, the subject of blood in the physical world is both fascinating and enlightening. And the same can be said of the spiritual world. For in Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, the Lord speaks to Cain after Cain has murdered his younger brother Abel. And the Lord says, The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. According to God, in the book of Genesis, we read the blood of Abel was a blood that cried. Oh yes, in the physical world, the blood did not cry, but yet in the spiritual world, in the spiritual realm, the blood did cry. And today I want simply to look at this fascinating and most enlightening truth of a blood that cries. Notice with me, first of all, that the blood of Abel cries passionately. You know, I read in Genesis 4, verse 10, God speaks to Cain and he says, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." The Hebrew term used for crieth in Genesis 4 verse 10 is a very strong Hebrew term. For example, it refers to a desperate cry. In Genesis chapter 41 verse 55, you and I read, "When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried," and here's the same Hebrew term as Genesis 4:10, "the people cried to Pharaoh for bread." What's the context? The context is you have a people who have not eaten for many days, perhaps even weeks. The whole country is without any food. And so they're coming with sore stomachs. They're coming in desperation, knowing that without food they're going to die. And they don't say nice and politely and quietly, "Please, can I have food?" No, they come and they cry, "Please give us food. We need food." It's a desperate cry. Another example is Exodus 14 verse 10. And here we have the children of Israel. They're at the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army, which many of the soldiers have just lost their firstborn child, they are grief-stricken. They are filled with absolute hatred against the Israelites. They want to wipe them from the face of the earth. And you and I read in Exodus 14 verse 10, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they," that is the children of Israel, "were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." Again, this is not a little quiet cry, "Please help me." No, it's a cry of desperation. "Please God, rescue us. Please God, deliver us." One other example, Deuteronomy 22 verse 27. And here you and I have, tragically, a girl being raped. And we read that she cries for help. "Help me, anybody, help me." When if you and I read in Genesis 4 verse 10, where God says regarding Abel, that his voice cries. It is a passionate cry, a desperate cry. It's also a wholehearted cry. In 2 Kings 3:21, you and I read about a people, and they realize that there are many kings coming with their armies to attack them. And you and I read in 2 Kings 3:21, that the people being attacked, that they gathered all. That's exactly the same Hebrew term in Genesis 4 verse 10 for cry. These people gathered all, everything that they had, everyone that could put on armor, they gathered all. Or indeed in Judges 7:24, it's put another way regarding another army, that they gathered together. All who were there, they gathered themselves together. You see, you and I have here the idea of the blood of Abel crying desperately with every ounce of energy and strength it has to God's. It is a passionate cry. Notice with me, secondly, the blood of Abel not only cries passionately, but the blood of Abel cries purposefully. Why was it crying to God? What was it crying to God for? Will you look at me, please, at Genesis 4, verse 10. The Lord declares to Cain, after Cain has killed Abel, "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed." What did Abel's blood cry for? It cried for Cain to be cursed, for Cain to be judged, for indeed Abel himself to be avenged. You and I read in the following verses of Genesis 4, verses 12 to 16, what indeed this cursing was. In verse 12, you and I read that Cain is cursed with fruitlessness. The ground will never bear any fruit or yield any fruit for Cain. We also read that Cain is cursed with restlessness. He'll be a vagabond upon the earth, always wandering and always unsettled. We read that he's cursed with loneliness because he's being sent away from his family in verse 14. He's also cursed with fear, for Cain fears that everybody who's ever going to see him will kill him. Indeed, verse 16, Cain is cursed with joylessness because he's sent from the presence of God. He's also cursed with hopelessness because Cain is now cursed. That word curse is the idea that God is actively against Cain. No more grace for Cain. No more opportunity for Cain. Cain is cursed. God is against Cain. And that's what the blood of Abel cries for cursing, for judgment, for punishment, for Abel himself to be avenged. The blood of Abel cries passionately. The blood of Abel cries purposefully. But notice with me thirdly, the blood of Abel cries powerfully. The Lord speaks to Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, and he says, "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed." You see, God heard the cry of Abel's blood, and God responded to the cry of Abel's blood. The cry of Abel's blood could not be ignored by God. The cry of Abel's blood could not be neglected by God. No. The cry of Abel's blood had to be answered by God. For God is holy, God is just, God is righteous, God must answer. There's blood that has been shed. In fact, whenever you look at the Hebrew of Genesis chapter 4 and the verse 10, you and I will read that the text says, "The voice of thy brother's bloods." Plural, bloods. Indeed, every single drop that was shed. As Cain butchered Abel, and so much blood was shed, every single drop of that blood. Cried passionately with every ounce of its strength, cried purposely for judgment and for vengeance, and it cried powerfully because God heard it and God responded to it, and Cain was now cursed in the face of the earth. Maybe you're saying today, what's this got to do with me? This is Genesis way back, thousands of years ago. What's this got to do with me? Well, let me bring to you two lessons and two applications regarding this crying blood. And the first is this. The cry of Abel's blood is the cry of someone who's murdered unjustly. And that means that the cry of Abel's blood is the same cry as the blood of all people who are murdered unjustly. You see, Abel had done nothing worthy of death, and yet he was killed and murdered by Cain. And so just as the blood of Abel cries out, so the blood of all those who are murdered unjustly cries out to God. And I am told that in this world today, there are 437,000 men, women, and young people who are intentionally and wrongly and unjustly murdered. In one given year, every single one of their blood cries to God, just like Abel's. I'm also told, according to the World Health Organization, that around 50 million babies are unnecessarily and unjustly aborted every single year. This is a very solemn reality. But these babies are killed unjustly, and therefore, just like Abel, the blood of these babies cries passionately with all their strength. The blood of these babies cries purposely for judgment and cursing, and the blood of these babies cries powerfully for God to bring judgment and vengeance on all those who have shed that blood. This ought to bring terror to the ears of those who have shed innocent blood. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 21, you and I read, "Behold," take note of this, "the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. For their iniquity, the earth also shall disclose her bloods, and shall no more cover her slain." Oh, someone can commit a sin, someone can commit a wicked deed, and they can, as it were, bury it, the ground may cover it. But God says one day the earth will disclose it all, and God will bring judgment and vengeance upon those who have shed that blood. Perhaps you say, "But surely little babies and children are insignificant. Surely they're unimportant." Well, do you know what the word Abel means? Abel means vanity. In Ecclesiastes, and the chapter 1, verse 2, Solomon declares regarding the things of the world that they're vanity of vanities. All is vanity. The word for vanity, which means emptiness, is the same word Abel, Avel. Avel of Avel. All is Avel. It's all vanity. It's all empty. And the reason Eve gave that name to her second child, Abel or Avel, emptiness, vanity, is because, as many commentators would suggest, she believed that her firstborn child, Cain, was God's answer to the promise he had given in Genesis 3:15 of a seed who would come, who had bruised the serpent's head. And oh, I've no doubt Eve loved Abel, yet she saw him as insignificant, as unimportant, as empty, because all she had was in Cain. And you see, even though someone may be considered unimportant and insignificant, the first lesson application is this, is that the blood of all those who is shed unjustly, it cries to God passionately and powerfully and purposely for judgment, for vengeance, and for cursing. Perhaps you say, "Well, here, preacher, I haven't shed any innocent blood. I'm all right. This doesn't apply to me. I'm okay." Well, in 2 Kings chapter 21, you and I read about it, Manasseh, a wicked king in Judah, who did evil in the sight of the Lord. In verse 6, we read that he made his son pass through the fire. Verse 16, we read that Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till it filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. But notice with me this. Whenever God brought judgment, he not merely brought judgment upon Manasseh. He brought judgment upon all of Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem didn't cry out. Jerusalem didn't stand up against the wicked actions of the king. Never let me ask you, as I ask myself, are you and I those who stand up for the rights of those who cannot speak for themselves? You and I are those who cry to God to deliver our land from such wickedness and evil and the abortion of many children unjustly. Men and women, the Lord cares about the murder of every single child and every single person. Every single one of them are made in His image. Genesis 9, verse 6. That's the first application. But notice with me a second application, a second lesson regarding this crying blood of Abel. And it is this. You and I have seen that the cry of Abel's blood is the same cry as the blood of all those who are murdered unjustly. But notice with me, secondly and finally, that the cry of Abel's blood is the same cry as the blood of Christ, who was murdered unjustly. For in Hebrews chapter 12, God the Holy Spirit Himself compares the blood of Christ to one particular individual, to Christ Himself. Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of His sprinkling, the Holy Spirit says, speaketh better things than that of Abel. You see, men, women, and young people, the blood of Abel cries passionately and powerfully and purposely, but so does the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ cries passionately with all of its strength. The blood of Christ cries powerfully, being heard by God, being responded to by God. In fact, you could say the blood of Christ cries even more powerfully, because while the blood of Abel cries from the ground, the blood of Christ cries from heaven. While the blood of Abel was the blood of simply a man, the blood of Christ is the blood of the God-man, equal with God the Father Himself. Perhaps you think, well, that fills me with fear. Because you know, I have seen the way Abel's blood has cried for revenge. What about Christ's blood? Was it not my sin that nailed Christ to the tree? Was it not my wickedness? Was it not my iniquity? You may say, well, hold on a minute. Well, actually, it wasn't me. It was the Roman soldiers that nailed Christ to the tree. It was the Roman soldiers that clothed Christ with that purple rag, mocking Him as a pure king. It was the Roman soldiers that crowned Christ with thorns rather than jewels, mocking Him as someone unworthy of glory and majesty. It was the Roman soldiers who gave Christ a reed for a scepter instead of a gold, making Christ's authority to be weak and contemptible. It was the Roman soldiers that worshipped Christ with sarcasm instead of worshipping Him with reverence and fear. But yet you think about it, you and I are just like the Roman soldiers, are we not? You know, you and I, do we not clothe Christ with a purple rag? Do we not say there's no beauty in Him because so often we don't live our lives like Him? Instead of being temperate and kind and merciful, we are unmerciful, intemperate, and unkind. Do you and I not crown Christ with thorns rather than jewels? Because we say that He's not worthy of glory and majesty. We don't, whenever we speak of Him, lift Him up with great reverence and respect. We speak of Him so casually and formally. Do you and I not mock Christ with a reed for a scepter? Instead of studying His will, studying His laws and commands, we only study them half-heartedly, or indeed we only obey them half-heartedly. We mock Christ. Whenever we sing praise, do we not sing them half-heartedly? Instead of praising Him, exalting Him with all our being, we mock Him just like the Roman soldiers did. But yet here's the comfort. While the blood of Abel cries passionately and powerfully and purposely for revenge, Christ's blood cries purposefully for blessing. You see, while the blood of Abel cries for revenge of sin, Christ's blood cries for remission of sin. While the blood of Abel cries for death, Christ's blood cries for life. While the blood of Abel cries for destruction, Christ's blood cries for deliverance. And you see, everything that Cain was cursed with, Christ, He cries for the opposite. Cain, Abel's blood cried for Cain to be punished. Christ's blood cries for sinners to be pardoned. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 7, it is in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. It is Him that loved us and washed us from our sins, Revelation 1, verse 5. You see, the blood of Abel cried for destruction of Cain, but Christ's blood cries for protection. The children of Israel there in Egypt, they were to kill a lamb, take the blood, sprinkle it upon the doorpost and the lintel. And you and I read that God said in Exodus 12, verse 13, when I see the blood, I will pass over you to protect us if we have the blood of Christ applied to us. The blood of Christ cries for joy, not joylessness like the blood of Abel. Because in Christ, you and I can be drawn near to God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, we're made nigh by the blood of Christ. Do you want to be drawn near to God? Do you want to know God and love God? You can because of the blood of Christ. While the blood of Abel cried for fruitlessness, for Cain never to be able to yield any fruit, the blood of Christ cries for fruitfulness. You see, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, we're told the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit can purge our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. Let me finish today by asking you, would you do service for Jesus, your King? Would you live daily his praises to sing, who loved you and gave himself for you? Let me tell you, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of Christ. Will you come to him for that power, for that salvation, even today? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, take thy word. Bless it to every heart. Glorify Christ, we ask. Save the lost. Sanctify the saint. For thy glory. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.